And so, with the cup held high, may the Leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast with Davey Ruskin and Mickey Brennan. A lot to get through on this episode. There's been another hectic weekend. And I suppose, Davey, we'll probably just get straight into it and we'll rip the plaster off from Saturday afternoon. Meath against Fermanagh, opening round of the Allianz Football League Division 2 for 2024 season. I suppose a point is better than no points at the end of the day as well, Davey, but there's going to have to be huge improvements.
No, oh, massive improvements, because that performance won't get you any more points. That level of a performance, okay, the result was what it was. You could take a positive from the fact we played nothing and still managed to somehow come out with a point from it. But the more concerning thing from Saturday was definitely the performance or lack of. And I think if we don't improve, we will certainly go down and we mightn't get a win. I expect us to improve. I think we're so much better than what we showed on Saturday, but it was really disappointing and concerning, I would say, as well, Mickey. It's just flat from start to finish. And I said that on the, I think at halftime in the match day diary, and you know, early in the piece, there was a big crowd in Navan. 95-96% of the crowd was Meath. But it was so flat. The atmosphere was really, really unusual. From the first whistle to the last one, there was no life about it from the supporters. And maybe, look, it was flat on the pitch, but it was also flat in the stands. So I think the players rely on the supporters and vice versa. And it just was one of those days for Meath, unfortunately.
Yeah, it finished 12 points to 1-9. Meath 12, Fermanagh 1-9. 5 points to Meath at halftime, 1-5 to Fermanagh at halftime. The goal coming on the stroke of halftime practically as well, Davey, and it came from a mistake from Meath. But like from listening to the matchday diary, and I'll talk about the matchday diary in a moment, but from listening to it, Fergal Lynch was of the opinion that Meath weren't playing too bad in that first half against the wind, and they contained Fermanagh pretty well, and that he thought that they'd push on in the second half. But like, while they outscored their opponent 7-4 in the second half, they butchered a few goal chances as well, one in the first half and a couple in the second half. And it could have been a positive result, a much more positive result for me than on that end of things.
Yeah, but on the flip side, it could have been the other way. Like they had a great goal chance towards the end as well. And I think they missed the insurance point through an unbelievable recovery challenge from Donal Keoghan. So there's all ifs, buts and maybes. And I think on the face of it, a draw was right. I don't think we did enough to deserve the win, even with those goal chances in mind that you talked about. I think Fergal was probably right at the time in halftime in saying that going into halftime, we would have been happy enough because we played against a really stiff breeze and it was 5 points each up until Fermanagh got that terrible goal on the stroke of halftime, which gave them the 3-point lead. We controlled most of the first half without really impressing or doing anything out of the ordinary. We just kind of cancelled Fermanagh out, and the hope and expectation was, even 3 points down at halftime, that we would have kicked on and went on and won the game. But we never really did. And I said this to you on the phone earlier on, the one issue I had walking away from it was that there wasn't a period in the game where we played well for 5 or 10 minutes. Like there wasn't 3 or 4 points we reeled off in quick succession and said, geez, you could look back and say we were going well at that stage. It was all very it was all very bitty and like spur of the moment, and you know, little pieces of play dotted throughout, but nothing consistent, which is again a concern.
Yeah, we didn't get a purple patch, it would seem, in the game where we took control of the game or whatever. We mentioned the match day diary. We did do a match day diary. And again, thanks again to all of our contributors to the match day diary for the Fermanagh game. We actually have a match day diary from Sunday as well. The ladies getting the win over Dublin in Park Tolchin, a huge win, keeping them at the top of the table at the summit of Division 1, which is brilliant to see. But we have a brilliant match day diary there. Also on our Loyal Royals this week, a whole host of podcasts going out. We'll have a review from the Fermanagh game. We have an interview with Colm O'Rourke after that game, after that draw. And then finally, we will have the match day diary, the review from the ladies against Dublin on Sunday in Park Tolchin, where they got the victory as well. Last week on our Loyal Royals, Davey, we did our report cards for the Junior B and the Junior A. We will be adding to them soon because we do have to do the intermediate and the senior, but they're just in the middle of mock exams at the minute.
They are, yeah. And we have a few more to go through club-wise, but really enjoyed them. Listen back to them towards the end of last week. Loved doing the Junior A and Junior B ones. Quite funny as well, the way you likened some of the stuff to a school report as well, which enjoyable. I loved the one where I kind of questioned you on what something means, and you were going to, you said, geez, I'd hope you'd take an ownership of that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was about.
I was just hoping that you'd interpret it your own way. I'd go, right, well, whatever. So you put me back.
Called your bluff, Mick.
Yeah, you put it back on me and you put me on the spot and I had to make up something there and then. But some really good podcasts gone out there in the last couple of weeks. So have a listen to them if you get a chance. And obviously all the ones coming up this week. And on the Dublin review, the ladies review, we've interviews with Shane McCormack, the new Mead manager, and Marion Farley, who's back in the Mead setup and was back in the on the score sheet against Dublin, getting a first half goal. What a way to mark your return to Mead senior ladies football. Brilliant stuff coming up against the All-Ireland champions and bagging a goal. Brilliant to see Marion Farley back on the Mead team. Speaking of which, let's move on there, Davey, to the ladies and their result from Sunday. We'll keep all of our talk about the Fermanagh game for our Loyal Royals podcast. But the Mead ladies against Dublin Sunday afternoon. Cold, windy, wet, nasty day, but it didn't dampen the spirits of the Mead supporters. They turned up in their droves and they were there to watch Mead taking control of that game against Dublin. They led 2-3 to 3 points at halftime. It was a 6-point lead at halftime. In the match day diary, you said you didn't know if 6 points was enough considering the conditions, but Mead saw it out well. The goals coming in the first half from Maeve Byrne and Marion Farley, as we already said.
Yeah, it was probably helped by the fact Dublin went on to kick 7 second half wides. They were really wasteful with the wind behind them. But to be fair to Mead, they managed the game really effectively, despite the fact they went 30 minutes without a score from the 20th to the 50th minute, which is astonishing. But the two goals, which arrived very early in the piece through Maeve Byrne and the aforementioned Marion Farley, were really key scorers in getting Mead over the line in the end. Because other than that, they probably didn't do enough in the first half with a strong breeze at their backs. But those two really well-worked goals stood them in good stead, and they defended stoutly then throughout and held on for a great win. Makes it back-to-back wins at the start of the new manager's tenure as well. I think that's a huge boost with such a huge turnover of players, Mickey, as well, and a number of players who have come into the setup for the first time. Some players that have dropped away now. I suppose Niamh O'Sullivan been one of them, having officially announced her retirement from inter-county game on Saturday. So there's a changing of the guard there, but the best way to implement a new system, which is what Shane is doing, and also to get new players integrated, is winning football matches. And they've done that twice in the last 2 weeks, and they have a brilliant opportunity to go on and make a 3-from-3 next weekend and cement their position at the top of the table. So it's been a really good couple of weeks for them.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic couple of weeks for them. And, and for Shane McCormack as well, you mentioned it, like getting those two wins back to back. It just gives the whole thing a lift. And, you know, the whole thing last year was very disappointing. And it, you can't really point at anybody in particular or whatever. For whatever reason, the girls didn't seem to buy in, but there's a great buy in this year, and it's a hell of a start to the new campaign, and it's creating momentum, Dean. You know, and away now next Sunday to Waterford and Fraher Field, another chance to get a victory. As you said, rubber stamped themselves at the top of the table, and that's three wins on the spin, and all of a sudden, winning is the new habit then.
That's it. It's brilliant, and I don't think anybody in their wildest of dreams or expectations would have expected to do it. Like, to put it into context, we've won our last two games, having been underdogs for both of the games. Now, I do think we'll be favourites going into next weekend's game against Waterford, but at the same time, I think that speaks volumes for what the players are doing. They're clearly enjoying the style of play, the new style of play that Shane is trying to implement as well. And it all seems to be really positive and thankfully on an upward trajectory again, because we know that this is a massive year for the Mead ladies. On the back of last year, it feels like they're at a juncture now where they can go in one of two ways. They can kind of solidify their position at the top echelons of ladies football, or they can start to dwindle down. And onto last year's kind of hangover year, it would be easy to kind of do the latter. But the early omens are very good for them. And if they can back that up with a third win next week, as we said, and challenge and continue to challenge at the top end of Division 1, I think it could be a really promising and prosperous year for them, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last couple of years, we've struggled to get goals. That's two goals against Mayo, two goals against Dublin. Obviously, we were talking about the game last week against Mayo, and it was played in the Air Dome over there in Mayo, in the Connacht Centre of Excellence, and they hit 218. And we were saying, I was trying to talk to you about it last week. I was saying, you know, they won't do that again this week. And, you know, weather is going to play a big part in this, Davey. It was a massive, massive factor in the game. Now, 2-5 is not what we want to see them scoring every week and whatever. But conditions were horrendous, and it was horrendous for both Dublin and Meath.
Yeah, it was really the old cliche of a game of two halves, and it was, because Meath were comfortable enough at half time, but the second half was all about managing the game and picking off scores when they needed to do that, and that's what they did. As you said, the conditions were really difficult, and that dictated to it. And we know the style of play that Dublin like to play as well. It's probably not conducive to the most open of football, shall we say. So it's all about playing the opposition really on the day. Meath did that, and I don't think they'll give a hoot whether they score 218 or 2-5. A win's a win, as they say, and two from two, happy days.
As long as you get the W behind your name after the game, that's the main thing. And Davey, is there something to be said maybe for these air domes in every county, maybe?
I genuinely, I'd love to see one in Meath. I think a lot of people would as well. It's obviously conducive to good football and big scores as well. So, hopefully we might see a few more of them pop up in the next few years.
Yeah, no, it would be brilliant for sure. Look, it's a hell of a win. I suppose before we move on, Davey, you mentioned her already, Niamh O'Sullivan. What a career. What a stalwart. What an unbelievable player she's been for Meath. And if anybody has been there through the good times and the bad times, there was an awful lot more bad times for Niamh. But what a way to end her career in the last 5 years, picking up all those championships, leagues, all-star medals, you know, the whole lot, coming from, you know, this barren period that just seemed to go on and on and on forever. And she could have thrown her arse, she could have thrown her hat in, and she could have walked away like many of the girls did. But Niamh kept going and kept plugging away and kept answering the call for Meath. And if anybody ever got their just rewards, it's definitely Niamh O'Sullivan.
Yeah, she's really lived through the bad times and the good. And as you quite rightly said, it would have been so easy for her to step aside after those horrific days, which they were, you know, and they're not too long ago, really. But she didn't, and she hung around and she turned herself into a mainstay and one of the leaders and one of the most talented players in the country, really, and the most recognised and deservedly the accolades, both personally and collectively, arrive for, you know, at the tail end of her career. And she was absolutely brilliant, you know, in the couple of All-Ireland finals in particular, got an All-Star as well to her name, and just a terrific player, great role model as well for the younger players and for the the kids who've been watching her down through the years, and I'm sure she's going to continue and do what she does it for Dunshaughlin Royal Gaels as you know, for the next number of years. But she owes me nothing. I think Shane McCormick would have loved to have had her, obviously, but she just got married before Christmas. She probably feels now is the right time. She's in her early 30s and stuff too. So, yeah, good luck to her and best wishes to her for the future. But what a stellar career she's enjoyed.
Yeah, and just on her commitment levels, Davey, you know, when we've interviewed her in the past and whatever, and we've mentioned those barren spells and that barren spell and that barren time where Meath were so below par and whatever. And like, she didn't continue playing for Meath because she thought we're going to win All Irelands and we're going to win trophies and all that. She just felt like, number one, it was her duty to stay there and try and bring on the next generation of footballer. And she just loved togging out for Meath and giving it her everything. And like, though, like to put in that commitment with no expectation of receiving anything back, like, that is the ultimate sacrifice.
Well, that's essentially what being an intercounty footballer is, regardless of where you're from or who you play for. It's ultimately the love of the county, the love of the jersey is why you do it. But to put it into context, Mickey, she, like, in men's terms, it's basically like a lower end Division 3 team or top end Division 4 team playing at that level and then suddenly turn yourself into All-Ireland contenders in the space of a couple of years. But she was one of the few players who was back in the Division 3, Division 4 days to eventually, you know, stand proud on Croke Park on All-Ireland final day and lift the All-Ireland championship. So it's a remarkable story for her personally, and obviously for the number of other girls who have done likewise, the likes of Moira O'Shaughnessy and Sean Ennis and Monica McGurk and maybe a few others, but they're certainly in the minority. And it was great to see her there in Park Talton on Sunday, and brought out onto the pitch at halftime to a standing ovation, and just a classy touch and a lovely send off for a magnificent player.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to wish Niamh the very best of luck, or the very best in the future, not best luck. She'll be fine. She doesn't need any luck. And thank her for everything that she's done, for her service for Meath football and for everything that she did. And all the interviews as well that she did with us here on the podcast, we want to thank her for them as well, because she was always so giving with her time. An absolute legend of a footballer. And again, wish her the very best luck in the future.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Davey, moving on to the hurlers, and this is a result we weren't expecting to see at all. We weren't expecting a result from this game. It was the Keogh Cup, and it was Kildare against Meath. It was played on Saturday in Hawkfield Centre of Excellence there in Kildare. And the reason why we didn't think it would go ahead was because they will face off against each other next Sunday in Navan in the opening round of the Alliance Hurling League, and we just thought it was a bit crazy having to play week on week, one in the Keogh Cup, which is obviously a lesser competition than the league, and injuries, etc., etc., going into your first round game of the league. I wonder if in the back of their heads the kind of look that says, well, look, in the league this year there isn't going to be relegation, so maybe it's not as important this game in the league next week. Obviously, I don't think either of them went out and played their full strength squads against the opposition on Saturday, and there might be a couple of tricks up the sleeve of both of them for the opening round of the Allianz Hurling League. But Kildare and Mead feel it, they're both of their teams, and Kildare won 122 to 119 on the day. Mead leading by a few points at half time in this one as well, Davey. I threw a load of questions in there. Answer them all now yourself.
Yeah, well, the nooks of it was that Mead needed to win the game by 8 points to win the competition, basically. And at half time, they were well on their way to doing so because they led by 4 points. So they were halfway there, effectively, literally. Led by a goal of 9 to 8 points. Owen Dunnigan, the Wolf Tones man, with the goal. And Mead were in really good fettle at that stage. But Kildare, maybe as expected on home soil in Hawkfield, came back strong in the second half and went on to score with a degree of comfort in the end. But like the Down game, which I was at a couple of weeks ago, there was enough promise and signs from this one to suggest that Mead are building nicely. Back to your initial point of playing consecutive weeks against the same opposition, it's far from ideal, but the fact that Wicklow had pulled out the week previous, I would say, meant that both teams needed another game, because Kildare's first game in this competition was an absolute drubbing of Wicklow, which led to the Garden County wanted to pull out of the competition because they got such a bad beating. And Mead, as a consequence of Wicklow pulling out, only had one game under their belt against Down. So both probably felt the need to play another game before they go into competitive action against each other next weekend in Navan. Some of the standout performances, I know we don't like talking about opposition players too much, but it's worth mentioning that Jack Sheridan from Kildare scored a goal and 18 in this game. Absolutely astonishing stuff. So needless to say, he'll need a bit of mind.
He'll be here, Mark, for next week, I think. Yeah.
That's the consequence of doing what you do, because he probably won't get a puck of it now next week. Hopefully not from a Mead standpoint. But like I said, there was some decent performances from Mead themselves. James Kelly clipped over a brace, as did Chris Gorman. And Paul Johanrahan converted 12-pointed frees. So, look, all in all, a decent exercise for Mead. I don't think they'll lose too much sleep about the back-to-back defeats to Down and Kildare. They'll pick the positives and they'll look forward to, hopefully, a big improvement and a big result maybe next weekend when Kildare come to town. That is a must-win game for both teams, actually. Like, looking at the standard and quality in the division for both, I think they're going to be targeted next week as a must-win game. So let's hope Mead can do it on home soil.
Must-win game if you're looking for promotion, because as we said already, there's no relegation from the league this year. And I don't, like, just as you mentioned that, like, Shorsha, did he shuffle the deck again this week and give a load of players a chance? Because that's something that he's been doing the last few weeks. And a lot of players to come back into the fold as well. He has to be really happy with how these players have all gelled in. These all those imported players yet come in. Did they get a chance against Kildare?
No, I don't think we've seen any of them yet, which would suggest that maybe they just need a little bit more time, but they're not quite up to speed yet. I don't know. I think one or two might have been carrying injuries anyway. But he did shuffle the deck. There was games for the likes of Philly O'Brien from St. Pat's, he came in goals. Jarlath Dennis came in for a start. Niall McLarnon started. Ethan Devine played his first game for the Meath Hurlers at wing back, which was good to see. James Murray from Trim was back. Shawnee Geraghty was back, played his first game of the year. And there was more game time for the likes of Shawnee Martin, for the Shine brothers, Shine twins. James Kelly, Owen Dunnigan all played again. And then off the bench, you had game time for the likes of Nicky Potterton, James Toher, Simon Ennis, David Murtha, and Chris Gorman. So all in all, like, he's probably used, I would say, close to probably 30 players across the two games in some way, shape, or form. So, which is positive, and, you know, it's good to see. So, yeah, let's hope that he can hopefully get something close to his best team on the pitch for next week. And, yeah, you're right. Whilst relegation isn't a concern for either team, you do feel the need to pick up a couple of wins in the league to be competitive come the Joe McDonagh. So I think next week represents a good opportunity of doing that.
And just on that, because in that league they're going to be playing most of those teams in the John McDonagh, and the fact that there's no relegation, this is a perfect opportunity for him to shuffle the deck on a regular basis and have his team in his head sorted for John McDonagh. And all emphasis will be on the John McDonagh. I don't think there'll be as much emphasis on the league, because the league is going to be a chance for all these imported players, all these new players, and the experienced players to gel together throughout the league and figure out a style of play before they hit the John McDonagh. Because I think the signs have been positive, and they get their house together before the championship comes, they could actually be contenders.
Yeah, it just all depends how you get off. It's like anything, isn't it? But I think the only slight concern I would have is maybe experience. There's really good, exciting young players who are there and coming through, but the lack of experience is something that maybe just concerns me. So I'd like to see, obviously, the likes of Tohar O'Hanrahan, Geraghty, you know, Simon Ennis, Charlie Ennis, these guys coming in and just bulking up the experience of the group, really, because we know about the absentees and the retirees that there's been over the off-season. So that's the only concern I would have. But listen, they put in a huge effort up to this point. They played a whole host of challenge matches as well. So there won't be any excuses come next Sunday from Shoreshare, the lads, if they don't put in a performance and get a positive result.
Do we know who the five January transfers are? The deadline day transfer guys that are coming in. Do we know who they are? And have they, let's say, inter-county pedigree from before with some of their own
characters? I'm not sure. I think they may have played underage with Kilkenny and Limerick. I don't know their names. I think there's three from Kilkenny, one from Limerick. One of the lads from Kilkenny is an Aylward. I think his brother plays hurling with Kilkenny. Good hurler. So,
it'll be interesting to see if they make a big impression.
They're playing senior hurling back in Kilkenny and Limerick. So they're obviously of good pedigree, and living or working up here. So it's something that Shorsha wants to explore. Every other county is doing it. So I have absolutely no problem, and I don't think too many people will.
Yeah, and they if they are of a higher quality, they're only going to raise the quality of the players around them. So I think it's positive, and it'll be brilliant to see how they will be integrated into the team and if they're as good as the players that we have in Meath. But we want to wish Shorsha and the lads the very best of luck next Sunday, 2 p.m. in Navan, when they take on Kildare again in the Allianz Hurling League. And Davey, on the Camogues, we mentioned it last week. We announced the new Camogie panel last week on our show on the We Are Meath Free podcast. And they're not out until the 17th of February. And they're going to be at home to Cavan at that stage. And the Meath footballers will be taking on Cavan 2 weeks later in Kingspan and Breffni. So that's a potential banana skin as well. Cavan, who only formed again maybe 3-4 years ago, I think they've had a couple of back-to-back promotions. I know they were in the same division last year, but I've heard good reports around Cavan that they're getting more Camogues into that team. So that's going to be a tough opener for Meath Camogie on the opening day.
Yeah, of course, they're going to be under new management themselves, aren't they? So it'll be really interesting to see how they go, and can they build or get to last year's heights, you know, two finals in league and championship. So fingers crossed they can get off to a good start in that local derby in a few weeks' time.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
So, Davey, now it's time to move on to the part of the show that everybody has been waiting for. It is, of course, GAApredictions.ie, the We Are Mead League in GAApredictions.ie. It is the competition that Portown run. It's a little fundraiser for the club. And the way it works is you pick the results of the Allianz Football League from Division 1 down to Division 4 over the weekend just gone by. If you can pick the winners from each of those games, you're in with a chance of winning €200 on a weekly basis for 7 weeks, so €1,400 in prize money. And if you can win the We Are Mead League, or if you're in the We Are Cavan League as well, and you win that, you've got a chance to, if you win those leagues, you will be given the choice of your preferred O'Neill's county jersey. It's just a brilliant prize as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fantastic. Fantastic prize to have on offer after seven rounds of action. So whole host of players, thanks to everybody who's played. There's an unbelievable amount in the We Are Mead League, which is fantastic to see. And the early pace setter at the top of the league is none other than Stephen Shepherd from the Wolf Tones. Shep was joined fourth overall over round one, and he tops the We Are Mead League after round one.
Who?
34 points. Shep.
Oh, good luck. Shep has 34 points.
But it's a perilous lead, Mickey, because there's a pile of players behind him who are in touch and distance with him, yourself included, actually. Because Barry McDonald is second. He's got 33. Brendan Byrne has 32. And yourself, along with four other players, are joint fourth on 31. Yourself, Ronan Casty, Con Cleary, Carl McCormick, and none other than Mr. George Plunkett, with 31 points. So very interesting developments up at the top of the division. I can continue to run through it. I could be here for a while if you want me to go through the whole table. But
do you know what? At this stage, like, your name and PS Tape's name hasn't been mentioned, so I'm happy to just leave it at that. Like, but if you want to, you can.
Yeah, after the week I had, Mickey, I'm quite happy to leave it as
no,
is.
No,
well.
No. Do you know what? I'd love to hear the results of the best.
I'm just trying to locate PS Tapes on there. Oh, I found them. It took about three or four scrolls down the page, but I did eventually find them.
And is he above or below you?
Well, we'll find he's out. Below me.
We'll,
he's
I was below just me. Say, hold that and tell us where everybody is.
Okay, so look, I'll fly through these. We've gone through the ones on 31. On 30, there's three players: Brian Flynn, Colm Mhaoiloge, and Hugh Staunton. Fergal Lynch has done well in round one. He's on 29 points. Then there's a whole host of players on 27, including Charlotte Brennan, Colm Finlay, Hugh Gamble, Jared Goff, Ben Hoy, and Conor Mulroe. 26, there's three or four players, including Paul Green, John Lynn, Shane Mulvaney, and Jelly, James O'Dwyer, who's done a solid week one. He'll be pretty happy with that 26 points. The Jelly. 25, then you've got Joe McQueenie, Glenn McDonald, and Hugh Durrigan. 24, it's Thomas Barker, Colin Brennan, Colin Gleeson, Robbie Keane, who is, of course, Paddy Stapleton's better half. He's done okay, 24 points. On 23, then it's Terry Bruton, Shane Riley, and myself, Mickey. So I've got 23, and after a disastrous week one, I'll take it. I actually thought it would have been a little bit worse than that, but
yeah,
not too bad. 22 then, Sean Murray and Owen Reid. 21, there's a pile of players, including Shawnee Dalton, David Gordon, Sean Hughes, Donald McLeod, Ivor O'Halloran, Ryan O'Rourke, Colin O'Brien, Dennis Ryan, Brian Smith, and Una McCullough. 20 points, you've got Gary Alder, Susan Farrell, James Lynch, Declan Masterson, Robert Purfield, Richie Quigley, and John Timoney. On 19 points then, you've got Ulton Blake, Cora Carlin, Jamie Coslow, Freddie Coyne, Andrew Daly, Declan Dixon, Owen Griffin, Shane Mangan, Gary McGovern, and Shane McNiff. 18 points for David Byrne, Kira Donoghue, Owen Dugan, Stephen Foley, Fergus Grimes, Mags Joyce, Mark Kelly, Paul McCarthy, John McGurty, Tom O'Connor all the way from Oz, and Brendan White. 17 points then. You've got Barry Canning, Henry Clifford, David Lynch, Ronan McNamara, Conor McAleese, Ross McGrath, Aideen Smith, Shane Trainer, and there's PS Tape. 17 points for Paddy Stapleton.
On
16 points, it is Mossy Burke, Nicholas Finlay, Barry Hand, Annette Lynch, Thomas McLeod, Alan McCormick, and Marcus Morrison. 15 points for Harry Corbley, Shamey Gallagher, Gareth Lynch, Tommy Owens. 14 points for Kevin Coyne, Alan Tormey, Dara Tui. I would have expected a little bit more from Kevin Coyne and Alan Tormey, I'll be honest with you, Mickey, but that was the nature of round one. 13 points for Stephen Brennan, Stephen Connolly, Damien Farley, Owen Finnegan, Zach Griffin, Josh Wall, and Nicky Gogan, Mickey. Nicky Gogan is the We Are Mead champion for the last 2 years. And he's only got 13 points after round one. He's given himself an absolute mountain to climb. He's 21 points behind Shep already. He has made up the ground in the last couple of years, so don't write him off just yet, but this could be his toughest one yet if he's to re-establish some sort of respectability on it. We're towards the end anyway. Brian Coleman, Olivia Cusson, and Patricia Plunkett are on 11 points. Sean Ryan's on 10. Gary Coyne is on 9. At bottom of the pile after round one with just 8 points is Conor O'Loughlin. So there you have it, Mickey. That is the We Are Mead league table after round one on GA predictions. And for people out there, we see this every week. Lads, you're in it for the 7 weeks. Do not forget to make your selections. You only have until next Saturday. There's a quick turnaround from week to week with round one and two. So gapredictions.com, go in and make your predictions. It's all open now again for round two.
Yeah, and can we just close it off there at that, Davey? I'm in the top four. Is that what was the winning amount this week? 36, was it?
It was 37 points. Katie Alwell, and she had the Meath and Fermanagh draw, which was key to her
I went for a couple of draws, and had I got one of them, I was on the pig's back. And the one that let me down, I suppose, was Clare and Sligo. That would have been worth 9 points to me. I would have been on 40 had I got that one. And I definitely would have been retiring at that stage then.
You sure would have, Mickey. But you've given yourself a good platform now, in fairness to you. So no pressure.
I'm just after getting an email there from a last man standing competition, and it's one from my own one of my clubs, Drumalee, and the fixtures, I'm looking at them for next weekend in Division 1 and Division 2. Mayo versus Dublin, Monaghan versus Kerry, Roscommon versus Galway, Derry versus Tyrone, Armagh versus Meath, Fermanagh versus Kildare, Loud versus Cork, and Cavan versus Donegal. Pick a winner from any of those 8 games. Next week is going to be carnage, I think.
Let me just see who I went for. I did it last man standing for, I think it was Menalty, and you had to pick your 7 in advance. You know, so
I like it.
Yeah, it's done and dusted, and makes no odds really, because you know, it's good to do it at the start like that. I've gone for Kerry next week, actually, Mickey, in that. Actually, I'm gone because I picked Meath in round one. Jesus.
You picked Meath in round one. And you had picked Kerry in round two against Monaghan in Clonus. That is, again, Kerry are notoriously slow starters in the National Football League. I'll have to have a look at that later on, because obviously I have to do it for the GAA predictions as well. So I'll have to look at all them. The fact that I'm so high up in the leaderboard at the moment, Davey, I'm starting to get nervous.
Already?
I'm looking at it. Yeah, I want to be in the mid-table and just ahead of you and PS Tapes and Robbie Keane. If I'm ahead of yous, and maybe Jelly and Mags Joyce as well, if I could just be ahead of yous, I'm fine. You know, that kind of way. But when I'm now up there with a chance, it's like, oh God.
You're there to be shot at, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to overthink it, and I'm going to try to be too clever with it. I'm going to look at...
Will you try and play it safe? Will you avoid draws?
I don't know. When you look at those 8 games between Division 1 and 2, you might be better off going for draws.
Yeah, I think
8 draws in Division 1 and 2. If you picked up... Like, if there was 3 draws altogether, that's 27 points.
It's better than picking four home games or, you know, whatever.
Than picking four home games, like 8 points for four home wins, 4 3-point wins in Division Two of 12, it's 20. If you got three draws, you're on 27. I don't know, I might do something like that, something crazy like that for round two and completely give yous all a chance to get back into it. You know me. Anyways, anybody else who wants to get into the competition, they can still join the competition in week two, Davey. We want to just remind them of that because it's up every week. €200 is up for grabs and you can do it on a weekly basis if you want. It's the weekly winner, not the overall winner each week, overall leader.
That's it in a nutshell, like 100%. Like, don't, for anybody that played for round one, lads, you're in for the whole thing, so don't miss out. Like, that's first and foremost. For people that didn't join for round one, you can play for €3 for round two. So essentially just go into gapredictions.com, make your selections, click the €3 option, pay, and you're in for that week. And if you really want, you might be able to catch PS tapes even if you miss round one. So do join the We Are Mead League. You have a bit of catching up to do, but you never know. The way PS tapes is going, you might overtake them.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Okay, Davey, with all of the slagging done there on PS tapes, I'm sure he'll be able to get plenty of slagging at us on the I Bloody Love Football, Fantasy Football podcast, which will be back up and running again this week because there's going to be midweek games in the Premiership. So he runs his podcast and does the Fantasy Football one. So he'll be able to give us plenty of slagging over our teams and stuff like that over the next couple of weeks. But it's time to move on now to our Lotto segment, Davey.
It is indeed, Mickey. The first one is from your own courts in GFC from Friday night. We had a €17,700 jackpot, which was not won. The numbers that were drawn were 4, 9, 24 and 31. €520 winners were Dominic and Celine Linsky, the Brown kids from Fordstown, Evan Henry, Anne Mungy and Bridget Flynn. The €150 Vanilla Pod voucher went to Amanda Farnan. And we're back Friday night with €17,800. You can play it at cortinga.com/lotto. Minalti from tonight, actually, from Sunday night. The results are in. Great to see. They had a €2,200 jackpot, which wasn't won. The numbers were 2, 5, 13 and 16. Four match three winners, each receiving €50, were Pat Nevin, Aisling Donoghue, Gillian Carey and Peter Rogers. The special online prize of €50 went to David Daly. And next week's jackpot is worth €2,400 and it takes place on Bank Holiday Monday. Castletown from last week, the 24th of January, they had a €7,100 jackpot. It wasn't won. The numbers were 8, 14, 15 and 18. Lucky dip winners, each receiving €30, were Kira Ginnity, Martina McHugh, Mick Wade, Martin Shepherd, and Andy and Ollie Cassidy. Next up is Navin O'Mahony's. Their numbers from last week were 5, 16, 21, 1 and 26. No jackpot winner. Match 3 winners were Sarah Dungan, Liz Gaffney, Davy Nelson and Rebecca Renix. The next draw takes place on the 30th, which is Tuesday night, and it's worth €15,000. Drumbarra, their numbers from last week were 3, 18, 23 and 25. They had a €4,900 jackpot. It wasn't won. Their 30-year winners were John Renix, Aine O'Reilly, Sarah Balfe, Noli Carey and Lisa and Tommy. Kilmainham, their neighbours from Monday night, the 22nd of January, they had no winner of their weekly draw, 13, 19, 22 and 28. Next week's jackpot moves on to €10,800. The lucky dip winners, each receiving €20 from last week, were Anne Caffrey, Lorraine Morgan, Fergal Black, Marie Morgan and Jackie Lynch. Manalvi, from last Monday night, the 22nd of January, 1, 12, 14 and 22. Their numbers, no winner of that one. €320 winners were Ben Magan, Lisa Mulvihill and Siobhan Douglas. The next draw takes place on Monday and it's worth €6,500 at manalvigfc.ie, or you can play it on the Club Force app. Walterstown from last Sunday night, the numbers were 13, 22, 24 and 27. No jackpot winner of their €10,000 top prize. No, I don't think there was a winner. No. Very confusing, the Walterstown one. I'll send it to you and you can see if you can make head or tail of it. They had one match 3 winner, I think, who was Ashley and Ronan O'Dowd, and they won €100. Okay. The jackpot's still worth €10,000. You can play online via Club Force or get envelopes in Curran's Garage or in O'Brien's in Johnstown or in the Clubhouse Bar. And the final one that I have on my list for this week, Mickey, comes from Dunamore Ashburn, and the results from the 21st, which was last Sunday night, and they had a €9,000 jackpot. It wasn't won. The match 3 winners were Mary Deegnan, Lorna Moore and Jenna Delaney. The numbers were 2, 5, 10 and 16, and they go again tonight. Sorry, they go again on the 4th of February, and they've got €9,200 up for grabs.
No, Motherwell, Kilmainham Woods lotto last week was not won. It was it took place on Monday the 22nd, and the numbers drawn were 4, 14, 21 and 22. 5 lucky dip winners, each receiving €20, are John Lee, Thomas O'Connor, Patter McCabe, Mary Nalty and Brendan Barber. The lotto jackpot this week will be 6,600. Simonson's lotto from Friday the 26th of January was not won. It was €4,800. The match 3 winner was Brendan Brady, and the numbers drawn were 13, 16, 18 and 19. And next week's jackpot is 4,850. Central Sounds Lotto, it took place last Tuesday night, the 23rd. It's usually a Monday night. They're probably regretting not doing it on the Monday night and holding off till the Tuesday, because the numbers drawn were 4, 7, 9 and 14. And we had one man who matched all four numbers, and that was Seamus Lyons, who wins €6,900 from the Centerstone Lotto. And their jackpot this week reverts back to €1,000. So I think it was the only jackpot that was won last week, Davey. €6,900, not to be sniffed at all.
Be lovely, wouldn't it, with the bank holiday weekend coming up?
No, that'll just get you through the bank holiday, I'd say. In fairness, so what, you might have a few coins left over after that, but well done to Seamus Lyons winning the lotto out there in Centreston, €6,900. Davey, that's all of our lottos done now. We will move on to our Instagram talking points from our listeners.
Yeah, a whole host of talking points to get through, Mickey. So we'll start with Robert Perfield. And Rob says, surely the bird shit could be washed off the seats in the stand. Rob, it could be worse. There's bird shit on the press box on the table. So, yeah. I don't know what's worse.
It probably is. But the only thing is that the seats in the stand, those guys sitting in the seats in the stand, they don't get sandwiches and tea, Davey. You were well looked after, I believe. On Saturday when Fermanagh were in town.
Yeah, what's rare is wonderful, Mickey. Lucky to be working is next in. He had a busy weekend too, by the looks of it. He asked, any chance of a lift to the next Meath game, lad? And that would be a very hard no from me, Mickey.
And why is that, Davey? Would you not bring him up to Armagh?
He's a bit out. He's a bit off where I'd be going. I'd have to be going out my way to pick him up. So, I have a closer
I'm sure he could get a lift to Cortown, no problem. So he could take him from there.
Anyway, we'll move on. Jack Walsh says the goal was on form Saturday, the big ham. Yeah, plenty of stories up.
Go on.
Yeah, look,
I didn't see any of the stories.
He had a busy Saturday. He was active, shall we say, on social media on Saturday.
Okay. You'll have to send me some links and I'll have to check out what the goal was up to.
Shane Mangan said, thank God for the Mead ladies. We will need to beat Cork and Louth to avoid relegation.
Cork and Louth, yeah. Yeah, it's not, look, it's not going to be easy, so it's not. But if you want to look at it in a positive manner, there is so much room for improvement. You know, and to play so badly and whatever and come away with a point, you know, at least we came away with a point. And if the lads don't realise now the level of performance that's needed, well, then they'll be in trouble.
Yeah. Joe McWeeney said, not great. At least the Dubs lost.
Every cloud is a silver lining and whatever. Yeah. I suppose you have to get your own house in order before you start looking at anybody else's.
True. Finn Hanratty asked, what do we have to work on to beat Armagh?
Well, Davey, you answer that. Like, okay, so what kind of style of football are Armagh going to play against Meath next weekend? Like they don't tend to go full on mass defence.
No, and I kind of put that to column as well because it will be a completely different proposition in that Armagh will probably enjoy a lot more of the possession, and maybe it might suit Meath to possibly try and counter and play that type of game. It'll be really interesting to see how it pans out. I think in a strange way it might suit me because of that. Armagh won't be as defensive. They're at home. The onus will be on them to kind of to make inroads and to kind of put the squeeze on me. So hopefully that might just play into our hands in a weird sort of way.
Can I ask you on the game against Fermanagh? Because obviously I was on the way down to Carlow to commentate on the Cavan game. Like, what was the transition like? Was it through the hand, or were they trying to did they turn over Fermanagh loads of times and try to transition the ball up the field through the foot, or was it through the hand? Did they turn them over many times? That's a question.
They did turn them over quite a few times, and we were really wasteful then when we got into the advanced positions. Like, there were times, for as well as Fermanagh were set up, there were times where they were sixes and sevens defensively and Meath didn't take full advantage. We kind of touched on the scoring opportunities, the goal scoring opportunities that we spurned. So there was a bit of kick passing in there, but mainly it was through the hands. But I found it was way too slow. The transition was way too slow. And okay, in the first half, that was all right because it suited us to hang on to possession and wind down the clock against the breeze. But in the second half, I would have expected a big injection of intensity in this, and by and large we didn't really see that, so there's a huge room for improvement there.
It seems to be that the higher end teams, while everybody does this kind of defensive thing where everybody defends when they don't have the ball and everybody's attacker when you do have the ball, and that's the way the game has gone, and it's real fitness orientated game. What I saw on Saturday evening down in Carlow between Cavan and Kildare was that Cavan transitioned the ball into the forward line so quickly when they turned over the ball. And that is something that all the top teams are doing, is that, yes, we'll all defend, but we'll move that ball up the field as quick as possible. And more often than not, with the kick pass, and that's such, you know, that's a trait that we've always kind of associated with me, was the kicking. So, are we kicking it enough? Like, that's the thing.
Yeah. Look, I think we'll get more of an opportunity to do that next week. I just worry about ourselves defensively. That's probably my big concern for next week, but we'll see. Neil McCann said center half back is a big problem area. Maybe Jones is the way to go.
Yeah, Campbell was there. Davey, and we were talking about this off air when I was driving down the road, and I think that if he got his head around it, I think he could be a great centre-back, especially with the way I was just talking about transitioning the ball up the other end of the field, because he's such a good kick passer of the ball. If he held that position, but he's the type of player who likes to be involved, likes to attack, likes to get on the end of things and whatever. And maybe that's one thing that's not suiting him at centre-back.
No, because we were caught out a number of times. I'm not sure Ronan Jones is the answer either, though. But we're probably really not spoiled for options there. Kyogan is the obvious one, but yeah, if you take him out of the full back line, I think you leave yourself so, so short of experience as much as anything in that crucial line. So it's a catch-22, really. See, Howley said Believer, new manager. I hadn't actually heard, but I asked who it was and I've yet to get a response. So hopefully we'll have some information in the next few days.
Yeah, well, we'll be doing our managerial merry-go-round update prior to the Club Cup starting. We'll just have a full rundown of all of the management teams, and hopefully by then we'll know who the Believer management is.
Yeah. Owen Griffin said, lucky to be working's Instagram stories are top drawer.
Yeah, follower of Lucky to be working there. And I love the way when you're watching his videos, you just feel like he's talking to you and nobody else.
It's very personal, isn't it?
It's very personal. He makes you feel like you're the only person in the world. He's a romantic at heart.
Yeah, it's a skill in itself, that. Mary Ellen Sheridan said, super block on the keeper by Megan Tyne.
You could tell me about this.
It was actually a brilliant block, which we got a free off, which was really crucial, actually, towards the business end of the second half. The goalkeeper had it for Dublin and she was coming out with it, and Megan Tyne converged on her, got a block, one possession back, was fouled. We got a free off it on the 30-metre line, and Marion Farley popped it over the bar. So, yeah, really, really good. Completely forgot about it, and I was just trying to rack my brain. But, yeah, brilliant bit of play. She's such a great workhorse, isn't she, Megan Tyne? She does some superb stuff. Probably a lot of it goes unnoticed. So, brilliant for her to do that. PS Tapes, I love the way he's always glass half full. He goes, only one Ulster team failed to win, Fermanagh, Mead standing firm. And he also said, why do we only ever refer to the ladies by their full names and not just their surnames? And I think that is a really, really good one, the second one.
We did the same with the men. Like, we wouldn't say Frayne, we'd say Owen Frayne, we'd say Matty Costello, we'd say, okay, we say Kyogan.
I don't think he's on about us specifically. I think he's on about commentators, you know.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I can relate to it.
It's funny because when I'm commentating, like on Saturday night, commentating in the Cavan team, I literally name them full name, like Oisín Kiernan on the ball, gives
all the time.
Clark. Yeah, all the time. Now, there's a couple of players that you can get away with just saying their second name, or if they've got a nickname, like the Gunner Brady, the ball is off to the Gunner. And Kieran Brady from Arva, he's the Holla. It's so funny, some of the nicknames that they have down in Cavan, they're not personal nicknames, they're nicknames that go back generations, because we'll say Kieran the Holla Brady. I asked one time, where did he get that name? I don't like this whole Holla. Like, is it Holler or something like that? I was thinking, like, oh, it's a silly nickname. It actually turned out that there's a load of Bradys around Arva, and they're the Bradys from the Hollow. From the Hollow.
Mickey, I'm going to have to stop you there.
I'm just saying that the nicknames, you know.
There's way too much Cavan talk on this podcast. This is a me podcast.
Well, just remember,
I know you're excited, but every Instagram talk point we've ended up talking about Cavan.
Okay, well, just remember that we're building up to that Cavan Mead game. That's going to be a massive game for both teams. In a few weeks, I'm
relegation 4-pointer. Look forward to it. Brian Brew says 1 point win for the Royal under 20s versus the Kingdom. O'Shea reckons we've a few gems. Right, tell me about the Cavan under 20s. Go on.
No. Larry Riley's over them. That's as much as you need to know.
Have they played Kerry?
No, they played Mead though.
Yeah, they were beaten by Meath. Well, this is great stuff. Meath have played Cavan, Monaghan, Galway, Kerry, and they've won all the games. And that probably is the biggest win today. I think they actually won by two, Brian. I could be corrected on that, but basically they're going really, really well, which is very, very good to see.
Yeah. Look, it's great excitement about them. And that excitement is going to build over the next few weeks as we get closer and closer to their campaign starting.
Brendan Keig says, why are we committing so many backs forward? He just goes on. I'll just finish his. He just says, when clearly they don't seem to have the pace to get back.
See, this is the way the game has gone, is that the opposition will, in every game, retreat back inside their own 65. So your defenders, your cornerbacks, your fullback, and your wingbacks and centre-back, they're generally going to just gravitate towards the other end of the field then. There has to be a system in place where that if the ball is turned over, that somebody is sitting and holding. Like, I like it. It's adventurous. Get up there. But we have to do the right things when we're up there. That's the problem. We can't cough up possession sillily like we did towards the end of the first half. And they turn it over. They go up the other end, 3-on-2. And they create a goal chance and take it. You know, that's what we coughing up possession cheaply in those scenarios is criminal. It's just criminal.
Sean Gurk said two goal chances on the break lost by selfishness.
Yeah, we were talking about this. I was listening to it on the radio on the way down, and I was so excited when I heard Brendan Cummins explaining that Meade were after turning over the ball and they had the men over. And he described it brilliantly, in fairness, on the radio. He was like, it's just a pop pass. All we need is a pop pass and we're going to have a goal chance. And both times, the first time Shane Walsh got sewn up and was turned over. And the second time, Owen Frayn actually kicked it over the bar. And both of them opportunities. And they're the opportunities that everybody, all the other teams take. They do the right thing. Fermanagh did it in the first half. 3-on-2, worked the goal chance, took the goal. We do that against Fermanagh with one of those opportunities, especially the Shane Walsh one, I think, was the one where they were down to 14 men. A goal goes in there and that's it. They drop their heads. Meade go on and win it by 5 points or something like that. You know, that kind of way. Win it comfortably. And we're sitting here going, bad performance, but we did the right things and we won. You know, that kind of way. There was three really good goal opportunities for me that they squandered. Now, look, Fermanagh did have their own goal chances as well, and Sean Brennan pulled off a great save on one of them, so he did. And then I think it was Kyogi intercepted another one, was it?
Yeah, the Kyogi one was for a point, but yeah. Keith Meath said, Niamh Gallagher with a goat emoji. He said, superb crowds in Navan for both of the games.
Yeah, a huge crowd for the ladies' game. What was it like? Was it 3,500?
I would say probably 2,500.
Just still really good for the day that was in it, the weather, the whole lot. It's absolutely brilliant to see him. Long may it continue. The more wins they get, the bigger the crowds will be. Niamh Gallagher, absolutely fantastic. Everybody's waxing lyrical about her at the minute.
Yeah, she's been fantastic in the first two games of the season. Absolutely brilliant, taking her game to new heights. So long may it continue. Dara Tui reckons that Sean Brennan should have took the free off the ground that Costello dropped short.
You talked to me about this one, because this was when again, listening to it, I was like, oh, brilliant. Free inside the 45-metre line, wind at the back. This is the chance now to win it. We drop it short. And should Sean Brennan have come up and taken it? Is this something that we've been looking at, saying that Meade are still struggling to get a consistent free taker, David?
Yeah, a consistent free taker from out of the perceived scoring zone. You just wouldn't put money on any of the Meade players putting a 40-metre free over the bar. And that's kind of how it felt when Matt was stepping up to take the free. I'm not saying Sean Brennan should have come up, but maybe he
would have been the best.
Say that again?
In hindsight, you probably could say.
Yeah, I think so. Even in real time, because Dahi McGowan had dropped one short before that. Matt Costello had missed one or dropped one short, and possibly Brennan on his left foot from that bit of an angle, slight angle for a left footer, it may have just worked. Yeah, disappointing, and that old Achilles heel really is kind of showing itself again for me. Just on the free, Sean Gurk said McBride not on the edge of the square for the last kick, or when it dropped short.
Yeah. And it's such a big man. Like, where was he at that stage? Was he still out the field? Well, if he wasn't on the square, he fully expected Matt Costello to send it over the bar.
Yeah, there was nobody on the edge of the square. This is the thing, like the goalkeeper, or was it, yeah, the goalkeeper, I think it was, caught the ball unchallenged. Like, so there was nobody. It wasn't as if it wasn't just McBride. There was no one within 10 yards of the goalkeeper.
But, like, that's not management's fault. That's players.
No, I don't think he's blaming the manager.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely not. But I'm just saying, is that, like, a lot of people would say, like, that's the first thing your manager should tell you, whatever. But that's a decision that a player has to make himself on the field. He has to say, right, this is a free. We've dropped a few short. Even if we don't drop some short, we always have somebody on the square in case it drops short. Like, I used to play midfield, and if one of the lads was taking a free, and it wasn't me that was taking a free, I'd be straight in on the square, and I'd be saying, right, this drop short, I'm going to make a menace of myself here. So I am, and try and get a fist on it or get something on it, you know, that kind of way. And I'll take the chance.
Just on Sean's point, the reference to McBride was that when McBride came on, he was in on the edge of the square for the first few minutes. And then he went out to midfield after that.
Do they need to be spoon-fed, all these players? Do they need to be told from the sideline where they need to be? I'm not saying Cian McBride does anything. The fact that nobody would down the square. Why is somebody not making that decision themselves to go in and stand right in front of the goalkeeper on the edge of the square? It's disappointing.
Yeah. Deck F. Dunn said we really should have played better versus Fermanagh, lost points.
Look, again, I said it to you as well, Davey. It's the first round of the Alliance League. And every team, especially the teams that people expect to be relegated from divisions, they put all their emphasis on the first game, and they put all of their they go all in on the first game because they need to get a result in that first game. If they can, you know, they're making their job much easier because they've got six games left to try and pick up the points that they need to avoid relegation. So there is a little bit of that as well. I know Meade were poor, but Fermanagh put everything into that game to make sure that they didn't lose it. Had they lost it, their backs are against the wall. For instance, Loud losing by such a small margin to Armagh. Now their backs are against the wall. There's no room for error really for Loud now. And they might come under a little bit of pressure. Fermanagh have that point on the board. It just makes things a little bit easier for them, having got something out of that game. Meade played terrible, there's no doubt about it, but they were, like, I don't see Fermanagh picking up a whole lot of points after that game.
Yeah, maybe. I just can't understand why Meade didn't approach it like that. Like, surely if Meade were going for promotion, why wouldn't you put it all into your first game, in a must-win game, essentially, or I don't know. Shane Riley said, poor display yesterday in Navan, concerned for the rest of the league campaign.
Again, reverting back to something that me and you talked about off air when we were doing our little bit of research on the game or for the podcast or whatever, we talked about how Meade struggled with the mass defences from Ulster football, and when an Ulster team decide to make it difficult for us, we do struggle.
We do. We struggle to break it down. We struggle to find a way to win these games. And until we could solve that conundrum, it is and has been a real problem for Meade and Meade teams of the past as well. This is nothing new. Hopefully, maybe next week might be the week.
Yeah, because we're coming up against another, three Ulster teams plus Louth.
Yeah,
collectively
four.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so we need to sort something out on that front. Look, we managed to do it last year against Down twice. So maybe they're going to have to revert back to that, and it'll be horses for courses. Figure out that system again and use it for those two games, for a couple of games. And then when we're playing against the likes of Cork or Kildare or, you know, that maybe we can play a little bit more expansive or something.
That's it from Instagram.
Yeah, a whole lot of Instagram on this week. A lot of people, I suppose, having their tuppence. And glad it's done. Dave, you have one more thing for the podcast as well.
Yeah, Maria Delaney from Dunshaughlin asked us to give the MeGA EuroMillions Syndicate a bit of a plug. It's back for its second year, and it's a fundraiser that MeGA do in the opening months of the year. And it's to help the development of further playing pitches in the Centre of Excellence in Dungannon and the expected start of the Park Tolton redevelopment in the new year. Proof of the commitment that Cushmee are continuing to improve our facilities and create an all-inclusive environment whilst promoting the GA motto, where we belong. We also continue to invest in the development squads and give as much support to our county teams as is needed. Your continuing support and support for this fundraiser is a vital source of income for all of our efforts on these fronts. I want to thank you for all of the supported initiatives over the years. And John Cavanagh, the outgoing chairperson, thanked the dedicated committees for organising this EuroMillions draw. So effectively, it's a syndicate with 10,400 chances. It's 100 lines per draw, and there's two entries per week, and there's 52 weeks, basically. So the fundraiser is targeted to support the daily running costs of the club competitions, inter-county football and hurling teams. It's targeted to finance the additional three pitches in Dungannon, and work has already started on these. So the entry fee is €500. The syndicate will participate in the EuroMillions and EuroMillions Plus draws, which have many categories of winners, in addition to a jackpot that varies between 15 million and 200 million. So there's 10,400 chances to share in 15 to 200 million, basically. MeGA have a booklet out, so you could see all the T's and C's, but they've got the application thing there. As we said, it's €500 to join. You can join it, buddy up with 10 or 15 or 20 people to do it amongst the group. I know some clubs have done it in the past as well. It's a good way of doing it. And the first draw takes place on the 5th of March. So you've got a little over a month, about 6 weeks left to play it. And the draws go right through till February 2025. So for anybody looking to get in touch, just get in touch with MeGA, I presume. And the closing date for entry is February 29th. So you've got exactly a month left to enter.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a brilliant fundraiser for MeGA, and a chance to be involved with a syndicate that could win anywhere from 15 to 130 million as well. And can you imagine if MeGA and the people who join it were able to hit the jackpot on that, it would be absolutely brilliant. We'd have the best stadium in the country, and we'd have the richest supporters in the country after that one as well. There'd be no need for McManus to be throwing his millions at us anymore after that. We'd probably be the ones throwing a few pounds around the country, Davey, if MeGA were to able to win something like that.
It's a brilliant way of supporting MeGA, but also being in the chance to become a millionaire as well, along with a whole host of other players. Imagine missing out on that opportunity, Mickey. Imagine all your mates and club mates and everything were in that draw and you weren't. So, yeah, have a think about it. Good way of supporting the county as well.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And as Davey said, like, you know, it's €500 per entry, but you can do your own mini syndicate to get that entry together. So with 10, 15, 20 people or whatever it is that you want to do it. A great initiative by the County Board once again. Thanks for Maria Delaney. Thanks to Maria Delaney for getting in contact with us. Well, look, that's it for this episode of your We Are Me podcast. Remember, We Are Me, why matters more.